The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Use promo code WMVP.
Tune in every Friday for the official Waddle and Sylvie same game parlay on the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
21 years or older, Illinois only. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
Boy, it's been a great time here, and we still have half the show to go. Plenty of time to come out to Legends in Woodridge. This place is awesome.
Yeah, good place.
The service is outstanding. Who's your guy that we met that you know here that we took a picture with?
Nico. Nico runs it. Ross is the chef.
Yeah. Shout out to both of them. They rolled out the red carpet for us.
Totally did.
Everyone's been fantastic.
You know there's three Carmens in here right now?
Yeah.
Yep. Bought a lot of Italian Carmen casinos here. We just met another Carmen who walked by. It was a Paisan right over here. That's a Carmen.
That's See? Great. Anybody there may be Paisan. More. Is there another Carmen in the house?
A lot of Carmens.
Can I get four Carmens?
I saw Carmen Electra back there somewhere.
That'd be nice.
Maybe she'd be back there
that'd
also.
That'd be nice.
One of my favorite.
It's like a Paisan convention in here, though. Male Carmens in the same room.
One of my favorite all-time guests we ever had.
Carmen Fan Zone.
No, was Carmen Electra during
she was great.
COVID when we were the only sports we had to talk about was The Last Dance.
Right, I remember
and then
that.
And then she was telling us about her having sex with Dennis Rodman, center court at the Berto Center.
I remember listening to that. It was awesome. Yeah. Yes.
And you know, the Berto's back open playing basketball again.
Really?
They closed it for an event space.
Right.
The former Niles North head coach bought it and reconverted it into basketball. That's where all the youth leagues are now. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. Let's go play some ball.
Yeah.
I'm ready at the old Berto Center, Carm. You know how much you love that place.
I spent a lot of time up there.
We both did. A lot of memories up there.
A lot of memories.
Yurko's having some steak from Carmen's. Is this a steak?
Like, that's my meal. I mean.
Oh, it's top notch.
Took right away, right off the top. The first.
It's beautiful, Carm.
Doug Kazarian joins us each and every week. I got to give him a shout out because, and I did on Twitter last week too, one of his top plays, and he always gives them to us. He was definitive about going with James Madison, and the rationale was really good. Appalachian State was coming off
the
emotional wins,
like wins, plural, true, yes,
and everything that they expended. And he said first half, James Madison. That I don't think paid, but James Madison on the money line.
Yeah,
James Madison with the points.
Good call on the money line. I had James Madison +7. Excellent call by Doug on the money line. James Madison is playing in the FBS for the first year. They're like legit good. I mean, they're not going to compete with a lot of Power 5 schools. I get it, but like they were awesome at FCS and they've made the jump and like they're legit.
Yeah. Let's bring in Doug Kazarian right now. Doug, good job.
Thank you. It certainly didn't look that smooth early on, down 28-3, but they channeled their inner Patriots against the Falcons and managed to come all the way back. But, you know, it's interesting. I said it last week when I said I liked the first half game and everything. You just don't know how that flat spot's going to manifest itself. I mean, the previous week, they dug themselves a giant hole coming off the big win at A&M, and so they were flat to begin with, and they had to use all their energy to come back. So sometimes the first half is the right side, and then the game line may not be or whatever. But it worked out for the most part if you played the money line particularly. But I appreciate the shout-out.
Yeah, how do you look at our Bears game with the Bears and Giants? Are you in on the under? Are you in on a team? Is this a stay-away game? What do you think?
Well, usually these Bear games are fairly stay-away. Let me ask you this. How do we feel about Herbert as the replacement running back?
We like
him. He's better than the starter.
We like him. Okay. That's a big variable because the Giants' defense is really brutal against the run. So I feel we're going to see a lot of rushing. And I would lean to the under, but so much depends if the Bears can actually get chunk yards on the ground.
How about the total? Too low? I mean, some money came in the market that did get it a little bit closer to 40. I mean, you're not a ton of wiggle room. I mean, 40 points in this NFL. You know, weather could be a factor up and down the East Coast, I guess, Doug. But is the total, is there any value one way or another? Or is that just like, hey, leave it alone because the game's probably going to be ugly?
Yeah, you know, we've been diving into the under. So scoring is down across the NFL. First 2 weeks, the unders hit at a 68% clip. Last week was 8-8 to the under. So the market's correcting itself. We're seeing the reasons for it could be a variety of reasons. Suspect quarterback play with some teams. Mostly a lot of the two deep, three deep shells and things like that, forcing teams to go on long drives, which obviously chew clock. And then also making them convert inside the red zone, which is obviously such a, you know, swing play here and there on third down, whether you settle for three or take the, or get seven. So larger sample size, we're going to probably see the totals creep back up, and we'll see more of a 500 performance the rest of the year. But that 39.5 is definitely a low number. But if you can get plus three with the Bears, short week for the Giants, who I don't think are very good at all, but they're not horrendous like we thought maybe going into the season, I would grab plus three. Three is such a key number. We talk about it all the time, the most common margin of victory in the NFL. 14.8% of games have landed three exactly since the extra point moved back its distance in 2015. So if you can get the full three, that's the key and always will be the key.
How do you feel, Doug, about the Packers? It's a big number. The Patriots are going with Hoyer. Yep. 9.5 is what it's crept up to after they ruled out Mac Jones.
You know, I'm torn on this game because the over-under is so low. It's 40. Now, if we were laying double digits with a over-under 50, I'd be more inclined to lay it. Belichick over the years has proven that he can kind of make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. I mean, remember, he won a few games during Deflategate with Garoppolo, with Brissett. I mean, he can do it all. I do think Hoyer is almost like the Belichick kryptonite. I think he's that limited. I don't think the defense is very good. If I had to lay it, I would with the Packers, but I'm in no rush to the counter. But definitely Packers for me at 9.5.
Doug, do you think Sunday Night Football goes off as a pick 'em? Will it stay with the Bucs, maybe a very short-priced favorite? Does it even switch in favor of the Chiefs? What happens with the Sunday Night game? They're staying in Tampa, Chiefs and Bucs.
Yeah, that's a great question, and you obviously know enough to ask that, because what we've seen in this line is that the Chiefs were 1.5-point favorites. And yes, there's been some professional money involved, but we've seen a shift in favorite, not because there's some move and steam by the professionals. It's because of the venue not moving. Now, that 1.5 was baked into the line a little bit when Kansas City was favored in case it moves to the Midwest, and then the Bucs lose their quote-unquote home field advantage. Now, it's still not going to be the same, just given everything going on with Hurricane Ian, but we've just seen a tweaking of the favorite, and obviously that really affects teasers if you want to tease up through 1.5, you know, from 1.5 to 7.5 and go through key numbers of 3, 6, and 7. But I think it's going to hang around right then. I think the sharps will be on the Bucs a little bit. Chiefs have been good, but they haven't been great. Remember that Everett runs the wrong route on Thursday night against the Chargers. You get the pick six. I mean, last week was a fluky game, but still, Chiefs are, you know, they have one impressive win that was against Arizona in the opener. I haven't been that overwhelmed by them. Bucs, I think getting Evans back will help. This will be a coin flip game, and I think the line reflects that.
Doug, what are the games in the NFL before we move to college that you like?
So not a ton. I don't love the card, but I will keep it in your division. I lean to the Seahawks if you make sure you get 3.5 or 4, not 3. Just given that St. Brown's out for Detroit, Swift's out for Detroit. St. Brown's been so much of that offense. It's one thing for the Lions to be favored, but to be laying this kind of lumber, I don't know. Seattle's had their moments, but I just think it's too many points for the Seahawks. And when I say too many points, just the extra half. I mean, I think that's what we're dealing with here in that game, but that's life in the NFL when you're handicapping. But the game I like the most is the Steelers. There's a lot of minus threes out there, -3, -120. I think that's the magic number. If you think about it, they're going to have 10 days off since their Thursday night game. They have to win this game. It's a must win. You have Zach Wilson coming back for the Jets. His upside's there, but obviously he's fairly limited. I just think it's, everything that Pittsburgh needs to get done is in this game. So I think this is a no excuses. They have to win this game at home, 10 days. And if you can get -3, even -20 or so, I would certainly recommend doing that. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Tell me the another game you like.
Yeah, just the last one. I like this. I mean, it's awful. It's going to take every ounce in your body to bet it, but I like the Raiders -2.5. I mean, this is their season on the line. We know what happened with the Arizona game. Obviously, the Chargers in the opener was a tough one, and then going back last week, you know, they were on the road, you know, coming off that game and lost by 2 in Tennessee, but had to come back. I just haven't been that impressed with the Broncos. Maybe they find a way to get their offense going, but again, this is the Raiders' season on the line. I'm going to lay it the 2.5 with them, but not 3.
Two other games I wanted to get to with you and Carmen, too, is the Ravens-Bills. I don't think we've hit that one. It's a really good one. Like, a part of it, I've heard a lot of people be very bullish on the Ravens at home getting points, but their secondary stinks.
Their defense has not been that good.
Yeah.
And they've been outgained, I think, on the year, if I'm not mistaken.
So how do you guys, Doug, first you, how do you feel about this?
So the thing that most interesting to me in this game is that Lamar Jackson, I think QBR-wise, has been the best quarterback in the NFL against the blitz. And he crushed teams when they were blitzing. Now, the Bills don't blitz. They get enough pressure with their front four. Now, with that being said, historically, Lamar Jackson still has put up good numbers in those scenarios. But I do find it interesting that all his success this year has been, you know, against the blitz. And then we'll see if the Bills and their banged-up secondary can handle Lamar Jackson, even with an extra defender, so not having the blitz. But it's hard to fade this team plus three at home. I do love this Bills team. I will say this, and I've been writing about it. The best bet with the Bills games is just Josh Allen over 1.5 passing touchdowns. I just think at some point they're going to start making them like Mahomes and make it 2.5. And the juice just gets pretty hefty. It was open. It was like 180 in the opener, and it's up to $2, 210. I just think that's the way to go. No team really dislikes rushing the ball like the Buffalo Bills. So I think even around the goal line, you get passes. And now he can run for one, but I think over 1.5 passing touchdowns, I'm going to keep betting it. I don't love props. I don't do a ton of props. But in this situation, I'm going to keep betting Allen until I lose that bet.
I think the best point Doug made, too, is about Buffalo's defensive issues in the secondary with the injuries. Hyde's out, still no White. Poyer's playing hurt. I think there's too many injuries. And the last 5 years, Baltimore getting points has covered 87.5% of the time. I mean, it's just they've been a cash cow. At home getting a field goal, I like the Ravens quite a bit this weekend.
Doug, what about the Doug Peterson Bowl with Philly and Jacksonville? Both have been great. The Eagles have been blowing teams out, but they're giving a lot of points. I think it's 6.5 right now.
Yeah, you know, I love this Jaguars team. I was on them last weekend, and I didn't care what the number was. I just think it's a bad spot for Jacksonville. Back-to-back road games, not a ton of travel to Philly, but still enough travel. I just wonder if they're mature enough and mentally strong enough to go on the road back-to-back weeks and hang around a big game, whereas Philly kind of had a cakewalk last week. I think if this game were played in a vacuum, I would love the points. I just don't like the spot here for the Jags. It feels like a little bit of a sucker bet, like a public underdog, although Philly's just been so dynamic. Jalen Hurts has been fantastic. So the public's going to be on him a little bit as well. I just wish they played a different week and I could bet on the Jags. I really like Jacksonville. I like him at 60-1 to win it all. I like Trevor Lawrence at 50-1. I like Peterson at 6-1 for Coach of the Year. I think this could be this year's Bengals. That was a chic comment before the season. I kind of laughed at it. But now I see where everyone's coming from.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and they lost 18 straight on the road before last week. So to Doug's point, are they ready to go back-to-back weeks on the road and win? I'm not so sure. But college-wise, Clemson secondary, I mean, I guess it's trending to get a couple of key players back, and that should help. It got just carved up by Sam Hartman last week. What do you think about Clemson at home against NC State? I know the Wolfpack never win in Death Valley, Doug. Weather looks like it should be okay after a lot of concerns, and I know the over is taking more money and it's driving it back out to the mid-40s, but does NC State have a chance? Are they a live dog at all as about a near touchdown underdog going into Death Valley this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we always have these teams that we all love probably a little too much before the season, during the season, whatever. NC State has been that team for me the last couple years. I just love what Dave Dorn's doing. I love their quarterback, Devin Leary. There's just a lot to like, and I always look to back him more than I look to fade him. Now, the question is, to your point, can they hang around with Clemson at Clemson? That was the key, because I leaned to Wake last week and got there. I think the home field was a key component of that. I have a column that's going to post tomorrow on ESPN.com, and I have to preview a lot of these ranked games, and I just say I can't remember the last time I bet a lot of money on a Clemson game. I just feel like since Trevor Lawrence left, I have not been able to get a good read on this team, and it's understandable. Lawrence was awesome, and it was just a different era, and then DJU was a little shaky last year. I lean to the underdog here, but Clemson has always found a way to kind of put these ACC challengers in their place. I mean, even last week, by going first on the extra point or the overtime, they almost led by 8. They almost got the 2-point conversion, right, and would have covered 7.5, and then Wake didn't convert. So I'm always uneasy when it's this low of a number of Clemson, but NC State is the side I would take.
Any other good plays in college that you got to get out there?
Yeah, I kind of like a few kind of random games. We'll start with a little bit bigger game. I do like Arkansas plus the points against Alabama. It's always treacherous betting into Alabama. They are a juggernaut. They are a beast. But I will say this, a couple things. Saban is only 12-12 against the spread when facing a top 20 team in conference. So the SEC team that's top 20 ranked, he's only 12-12. So for all his years of domination, and you're getting 17.5
I thought that's what this line should be if it were in Tuscaloosa. The fact that it's in at Arkansas, you're getting 17.5, and Bryce Young, he's dynamic. This offense, this team doesn't look as dynamic as it once was. He's played five road games, true road games. Four of the five, or three of the four, I forget which what it is, have been decided by 3 points or less. So they've had some nail-biters. We all saw the Texas game, right? It was Auburn last year. It was another one. A&M, they lost. I mean, they have tough games since Bryce Young's been the starting quarterback. And to get 17.5 with Sam Pittman, and he's been a covering machine in the underdog role, I kind of have to grab the points. Now, on the flip side, I'm laying it with Georgia against Missouri. Missouri had a devastating loss last week at home to Auburn. They fumbled out of the end zone in overtime, missed a chip shot as well, the field goal. And here comes Georgia, which was only beating Kent State by 10 in the fourth quarter. I think this next game has their attention. I think they go into Columbia, and it's a rout from the start. I like -17.5 in the first half. There's enough offense right now with the Bulldogs. They can you can lay points with them like this. So I like 17.5, and I like 29 for the game. I just think they rout them. Now, there's another SEC game I'm a little uneasy about, but I'm going to do it. Auburn and LSU, historically, home team wins and covers. But I'm going to lay 8 on the road. It's been a dumpster fire out there on the plains. Brian Harsin's like the definition of hot seat and dead man walking. I think LSU goes in there, takes care of business. Now, the third-string quarterback's playing for Auburn. I don't like that. I want the starter, Finley, in there because you kind of know what you had. Ashford has shown some signs of promise, but still, I'll lay because I trust Brian Kelly to make some mid-game adjustments. That's what he did against Mississippi State earlier this year, and it was a great adjustment, and then they controlled the game after trailing 13-0. So I trust Brian Kelly in this situation, but I do it cautiously just because of the rivalry history between these two teams. Now, outside the SEC, we're going to go to the Pac-12. I just don't know how Oregon State can kind of get off the mat and cover at Utah. They had basically the entire school was at that game. It was the biggest game in a while against USC. They played well, huge environment, and they somehow do not win the game. I just think it's an empty gas tank, kind of like we talked about with App State and James Madison game. I think they're going to Rice-Eccles in altitude, and I think Utah laying 10.5 is the right side. The physicality will wear on the Beavers, and I don't think Oregon State's offense is that great to begin with. I think Utah wins this one by about 20, 17-20. It's going to be a little hairy at the end, maybe the back door, but I'll lay it. In my final play, I always like to pick one of these ugly games. This is the ugliest game of the weekend, New Mexico State laying 14.5 to FIU. Florida International's really just not good. They haven't beaten an FBS team since 2019. They have one win this year. That was against FCS Bryant in overtime. A two-point conversion won it. Bryant lost to Brown earlier this year as well. So they get FIU got waxed by Texas State, one of the worst teams in football. They just lost 73-0 at Western Kentucky. I think New Mexico State got the win and cover last week against Hawaii. I think they cover the 14.5 as well.
Wow. Now, that is a boatload of picks right there. Good stuff, Doug. We appreciate you.
Well, we got the pick part. Let's hope the wins come as well.
Yeah, well, let's do it. Let's go 2 weeks in a row. Doug, we appreciate you. Thank you. Check out Doug Kazarian on ESPN.
Oregon State played tough and hung. 4 turnovers. That's how you lose.
Yep.
And then Caleb Williams made that phenomenal pass at the end of the game, and USC got the win. Of course, USC did not cover.
Beavers were a little loose with the football.
4 turnovers, good luck to you. And last time, Utah, look at it, Sylvia. Last home loss against an unranked opponent at home, October 21, 2017.
Wow.
Pretty good run for the Utes
at
home against unranked opponents. Now, that doesn't mean they'll cover 10, but, you know, I feel what Doug is laying out there on that one. If you're going to play that's a lay it or don't play it for me. Utah taking care of business against Oregon State.
You put together this whole, paper every week?
That's what he
does.
Every week.
That's amazing.
Every week.
I didn't know that you actually typed it out and
made
it like
type it out so that it's neat. Yeah.
That means good stuff. You don't listen
to highlights.
The odds couple, because you'd know
certain
that
things are highlighted
the preparation it takes to be able to pull off an odds couple with Mike Nort.
Tomorrow morning, right? At what, 8?
Yeah, 8 to 9. Yep. Podcast is already up on the ESPN Chicago app. Absolutely.
And there you go. We'll be in the car on the way to baseball.
Nice, good.
We'll have it on.
It's going to be cool in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a beautiful weekend.
He was great with Doug, by the way. Good stuff.
No problem, guys. One of Yurko's special interviews.
Listen, you guys got to know when to get out of the way sometimes.
I love how that's how he rationalizes
this gambling thing is your baby. It's your little sweetie pie.
Look, you don't force it. I do agree.
My steak.
He just wanted some steak.
Geez.
All right. We've got to do like it, love it. So I want you guys to participate, too. You could be on the board for just this week.
All right.
And we'll get Waddle's pick and everything.
We want some more of it, man.
It's a huge struggle for me. And then what to watch for is one of my favorite segments of the week. So we've got a lot to do, and then we'll get to some of the top stories of the day with the Bears. Cubs won again. We've got the Tua situation. We're live in Woodridge at Legends. It's all brought to you by Miller Lite on ESPN 1000.
Football Friday and Miller Time. A fantastic combo by any account. Welcome to the Waddle and Sylvie Show live from Woodridge and Legends Bar. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Just a little taste of it.
That's right, like it, love it. Just a taste of it is our weekly gambling segment. It is brought to you by Keeper's Heart Irish and American Whiskey.
Good stuff, by the way. The Irish American, so they've got a few, but the Irish American is their, it's a some pure pot still Irish whiskey and some Irish grain whiskey that they blend with American rye. It's good.
Did you guys have a show with them?
Yes, in Naperville last week.
That's great.
It makes a good cocktail. Heisman's. It's a nice whiskey.
Well, that's right. I remember listening to you guys talk about it. Yeah. All right, Yurko and Carmen are with me. Waddle is at BC for Parents Weekend. Meller's out with us. Tyler's back at the shop. Jake's working with them. So, I mean, we could use the usual participants, the four of us, and then you guys can throw in your picks.
Okay.
For good measure,
too. You guys do it. Go ahead.
Whatever you guys want.
What is the
standings? Here's the problem.
Yeah.
Waddle never sent me his picks.
All right, so then...
What a D-bag.
I think Yurko, you pick for Waddle.
Yeah, love
and
it.
And then
love
Carmen
it.
Will give us his expert picks.
Like it. Go. And then I want...
One like, one love.
And one just a taste.
And then just something that you just want a little taste of. You're not sure.
Got to wet my beak maybe a little bit?
Yeah, you just get a little taste.
All right.
What are the standings? I this is not good for me.
Here's what
that.
We got. Yeah, I'm surprised you're the one soliciting the standings right now. Waddle's in the lead. He's got 13 points. I'm in second with 7. Meller's in third with 5. And Sylvie with just 1 point this year.
I think that's
you
the greater
stink.
Feat. I think that's the greater feat.
It's not.
You're like only being cat. Able to get 1 point.
Yes. Being the best loser is not a feat.
But
it happens.
To my credit, I do tell everyone.
You do.
Fade me. I suck at this.
Yeah.
No matter what I think. Greeny's done my idea for years about going Oppo.
Right.
And it's actually been working for him. He's made it into a bit now with his kiss of death picks.
But are his picks actually a little bit better right now or no?
Yes. Still, he went 3-0 last week doing opposite of what he really thinks. So
he was really 0-3, which means if you went opposite, he was 3-0.
Right. Exactly.
Yes, I got you.
He told everyone what he normally would pick in this game. He goes, therefore, I'm going with the other team. And then he went 3-0. So, all right, Tyler. So, well, Yurko, you got honors for Waddle. What do you love? What do you like?
Out of nowhere, what I like
first.
This is what I like. This is what I like.
Like or love? This, what you
this
like?
One's I like. I yes. like this
So this
one.
Is what you call a lean in the business.
This is a lean.
2 points.
This is what I like. I got Buffalo going up against Baltimore.
Yes.
I like this position for Buffalo.
Really?
I do. I like this position for Buffalo. Being a little angry going up against Baltimore after what happened to them last week. They're giving away 3.5, I believe. If that's the official number.
3 o'clock.
Three, yeah.
I'll give them the 3 then.
I hope you're wrong because it's one of my best plays.
Minus the 3 is what I like. What I love.
No.
Hold on.
Oh,
okay.
We're in the like round.
All right, like round. That's what
Tyler,
I like.
Tyler, what do you like?
I'm going to go to the Chargers. Justin Herbert had a full participation in practice today. They are a 5.5-point favorite on the road against the Texans, so give me the Chargers.
Meller, what do you like?
All right, boys, for my like, I will go to London, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The Vikings are taking on the Saints, a very depleted Saints team. Michael Thomas out. Jameis Winston, doubtful. Go ahead. I like the Vikings laying 3 in London.
My like is the Cowboys at home. They're playing the Commanders. The Commanders stink. This will be one of those things where it looks like it's obvious, and I'm sure now the Commanders are going to play their best game, and I'm going to lose again. But the Cooper Rush train. It's starting to speed down the track a little bit. Jerry Jones is very excited. I like the Cowboys.
And let's face it, that defense can get after it. Man.
Yes.
I mean, it can. And Carson Wentz could be in for a long day. They can get after it.
I don't know how you could think he's the answer. You're Ron Rivera. You're coaching for your life.
I don't know.
And you put it on Carson Wentz. Carmen, what do you like?
You know, I'm a little leery on this, and I guess I'll keep it as a like because of that. It's the same game Meller just talked about. I'm a little leery because the quarterback's probably going to be different, and this trend is more a little bit because Jameis has started the first three games. But they are so bad. I told you guys that stat earlier about how bad they've been in the first three quarters, the Saints. They're second to last in the NFL on early downs in the first three quarters in EPA per play. The offense has just been brutal. They've scored 10, 7, and 0 points in the first three quarters of their first three games, guys. 10, 7, and 0. So I like, and again, maybe this changes now because Andy Dalton operates them a little bit more efficiently. I'm not sure. But no Michael Thomas, Andy Dalton playing in London's always weird anyway. I like the first half under in that game, actually.
All right, this isn't the odds couple. You can just give us like a couple of lines. And
all right, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Like the first half under. Little, there you go.
It's getting a little lengthy.
Yurko, what is your love?
All right, this is what I love. I'll go up to Green Bay. They got the New England Patriots. They got a backup quarterback. They've got a reason to win at home, only giving up 10.5. I love the Green Bay Packers.
There's a lot of points.
Yeah, it is a lot of points.
Yep.
What do you got, Tyler? What's your love?
I'm going to go in the similar vein as Carm here, but I'm going to go for the full game here. I love a good Lunder, so let's go with the under 41.5 across the pond.
There you go.
Meller?
For my love, gentlemen, Sunday Night Football, the Chiefs-Buccaneers. It will be played in Tampa Bay. At least that's what we're led to believe right now. It'd be a bit of a shock if it changes at this point. It's a pick 'em. You know what? I love the Chiefs. The Bucs need some weapons. Until I see them operating offensively, I'm going to go ahead and pick against them. I love the Chiefs.
Put me down for that as my love, too.
That's your love.
I even love, yeah, they were getting a point. It's come down now to a pick 'em. So, all right. That's what it is.
I don't really love anything in the NFL card. I agree with Kazarian. I think it's a tough card this weekend. I gave out one best play in the NFL on Odds Couple, and it's opposite of Yurko. It was the Ravens getting the points. I'll give you a college game that I really that I love here. Oklahoma State. I think a little bit of revenge is on the mind after the way they lost to Baylor in the Big 12 title game last year. They are going on the road for the first time, guys, but they've had extra time to prepare, and Mike Gundy's just been a cash cow in this spot. 12-8 straight up, 16-4 against the number when taking points over the last six seasons.
Wow.
And if you go back to 2010, this is the seventh best program in all of Division I. That's FBS and FCS. The Cowboys are seventh best in Division I as an underdog. Consider when you look at their ATS record, 25 up, 14 down. So I like Oklahoma State this weekend, and I think maybe even a live dog to pull the upset at Baylor.
Okay. That's what Abdallah used to do, and it was a smart move. Play more college games than pro games.
Yeah. I think that I honestly, and again, Kazarian said it. Mike and I talked about it a little bit this morning. Podcast is up on ESPN, on the ESPN Chicago app. It is a tough NFL card, guys. I'm not going to lie.
It's always tough.
It is, but this week especially, I was like, God, I don't love anything. I'm having a tough time with, you know, we do a media contest. We got to pick five games against the spread. I'm like, man, this is going to be one of those weeks that is really, really tough to find five games that I feel good about picking against the spread in the NFL. It is a tough week for sure.
Yurko, we're going to take a break now on the Odds Couple. No, I'm kidding.
Sorry.
What is your taste? Just a little taste.
All right, just a little bit of taste.
Make the sound effect that you were making earlier.
A little bit of a taste, okay? That's what we're going to go with. I go to London.
Ooh,
but
we
I go
all
up
got
to
some London action.
I go up to Highbury.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Okay. Well, yeah, Arsenal's taking on the Tottenham, the Hotspurs, up at Arsenal Stadium at the Emirates. I like Tottenham here. I mean, not like. I just give you a little taste of Tottenham.
You taste in Tottenham.
They don't win a lot, okay, up at Arsenal. They don't do that. Usually when they consider it a successful day, if they find a way to tie them there, okay? And you can bet a tie if you would like. But this week, against the high-flying Arsenal side, I'm going to take Tottenham.
Okay, to win outright?
To win outright. Tottenham for the win.
Tyler, what's your taste?
I like Carm's pick of Baltimore plus the 3, Lamar Jackson 9-1 against the spread as an underdog since 2018. So give me the Ravens.
For my taste, gentlemen, look at this. Everybody's darling, the Detroit Lions, the Hard Knocks team. Everybody loved them. They're banged up. We know about Amon-Ra St. Brown being out. DeAndre Swift out. Do they have any offensive skill players to rely on? I don't think so, but they're still a 3.5 point favorite. give me the Seattle Seahawks getting 3.5.
Yeah, isn't that what Doug was saying?
Yeah, he was saying it too.
As long as it's a half point.
As long as you can get it. I mean, if you could still get it over 3,
I see 3.5 on a couple sites right now.
I can get behind that probably.
All right, I'm taking the Bears as my taste.
I don't mind that, Sylvie.
Yeah.
As a little taste, I don't mind it.
I like their chances to win.
By the half point.
I don't mind that.
Can't do that in this game.
Yeah,
I wish
you can't
we could
do it in this game.
Shake a bad bunch of points.
I'll give you one. I'll give you Falcons at home against the Browns. Falcons money line as a short little underdog, is about a 1-point underdog right now. Even I had Falcons money line last week. It hit. Would you guys be surprised to find out that right now Marcus Mariota and the Atlanta Falcons have a top 10 offense in the NFL?
It's sneaky.
They're top 10 in EPA per play. They're I think they're third in success rate. They are, like, a really good, efficient offense right now. 44% of their runs have graded out successful. That's good against a Cleveland D-line that has struggled to stop the run. And Myles Garrett, I guess, will play, but also coming off of a very scary incident over the weekend. They've turned Cordarrelle Patterson into a lethal weapon out of the backfield. They've got weapons down there. Drake London's look good. I like Atlanta a little bit
good.
This weekend. A little taste.
That sounds like an endorsement for Ryan Poles, if ever I heard one. Bears South.
Ryan Pace. Yeah, because it is Bear South, Meller. You're right.
You guys remember.
You're all pulled up.
Not only did he get, what's his name? Who was the first quarterback that he pulled here? See, this is the name thing
Lennon.
Mike Lennon. I was going to say Glenn Allen Hill there. Mike Lennon, Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
He traded for Nick Foles. He signed then Andy Dalton. And remember, he wanted to trade up for
Mariota.
And the reason why he wanted to, why he did trade up for Mitch, is because he was burned by not going and trading up for Carson Wentz.
Oh, for Carson Wentz. Oh.
The fingerprints of Ryan Pace. Those are the names that you got.
He doesn't know what a good quarterback
looks like. Well, in fairness, Mariota's playing pretty well right now. And Wentz was the MVP before he got hurt.
His second year.
Yeah.
He was great, he was the MVP.
But in the totality of it, you're right. He didn't have a very good eye for the quarterback.
All right, coming up next, what to watch for. It's one of my favorite segments of the week. Then we'll get into some Bears conversation. We're live at Legends in Woodridge. Join us. It's brought to you by Miller Lite. Thank you.
It's Miller time at Legends in Woodridge. This is a Waddle and Sylvie live broadcast with special co-hosts Carmen and Yurko.
Listen to Chicago's Home for Sports on the ESPN Chicago app, 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
That's right. What to Watch For is brought to you by our great friends and partners at Connie's Frozen Pizza. Pick them up for the weekend at Jewel, Osco, and Mariano's, or wherever you shop in Chicago. You guys know how we do this, right?
Of course. I like this segment.
Television shows. It's one of my favorites. It's where I get a lot of my television watching. I did discover a new show this week, and it's called Reboot.
Reboot.
Now, this is on Hulu. It's a comedy. You're in and out in 30 minutes. It is from the creator of Modern Family. I think he's from Chicago. I think his name is Stephen Levitin. And it's got a really good cast, Carmen.
What, Johnny Knoxville?
Johnny Knoxville.
Keegan-Michael Key.
It's hilarious. It's dirty. I love Keegan-Michael Key.
I love him.
I was a big fan of his show on Netflix that did not have a long run called Friends from College.
It was a good show.
This is similar. Paul Reiser is in this.
Where's Balake at? Aaron. Is Aaron here?
it is.
Keegan-Michael Key's awesome.
This is about a comedy show that was shot in the early 2000s that then was canceled. And then, like all these shows these days, they're rebooting it, and this is about the cast as they reboot. And it's very, very funny. Like I said, it is on Hulu. I will give you one not to watch for that I've heard a lot about, too. I don't know if anyone's had a different experience than me. When I saw that this was available on Netflix, have you looked at the Dahmer on Netflix?
We talked about it yesterday. Yes. Like I haven't yet because I'm like, it's so creepy. It's such a creepy... Yurko and I were just talking about this yesterday.
I love those types of shows, and this is made to drama. The first scene and how he lures his first. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. I saw the trailer.
It's too long. It's too drawn out. I'm like, would you do?
do your thing already.
So you actually watched the whole thing?
No, my wife and I had to turn it off after a half hour.
Really?
Because it was too long and drawn out, and it really, it's screwed. Yes. It just makes you feel disgusting.
Was that song playing the whole time they have in the trailer? Was it in the background?
I don't think so, no.
Now, I watched when Netflix did the one with Zac Efron on Ted Bundy. I did watch that
one. Did you like that?
And it was good. I mean, it's creepy. I mean, it's all creepy, obviously. But I watched it, and I was, you know.
Someone said I need to get over the hump of that first scene. It was really going that
unpleasant.
His first person was going for several minutes.
Mm. Oh, God.
Handcuffing him.
Oh, God.
You know, and then taking pictures.
I don't know if I want to see it.
It's just crazy.
I'm not going to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I gave up.
I don't care to. Yeah. You gave up. I'll never watch. I get creeped out enough. It's the trailer.
Yeah.
Where the song's playing by Casey and the Sunshine.
Yeah.
That was enough. It didn't make me hit, let's watch this.
Right.
I moved on down. I watched Lou.
Yeah, he said Lou was good.
What's Lou about?
It's the movie. Allison Janney's in it.
Oh.
You like it.
I like Allison Janney.
I love Allison Janney.
Well, I think you'll like this.
Okay.
If you give it a chance.
Comedy, then.
You got to get past the first 20 minutes. I think you'll be okay.
Is that a joke?
I'm being a smartass, yeah.
What are you watching?
You can't tell. Carmen knows right away. You can't tell.
What are you watching? Anything good?
Well, that's what I watch. Toy.
Lou. Yeah. Lou.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'll watch EPL soccer tomorrow up until about 9 o'clock.
It's like the fifth EPL mention.
Sunday, Man City, Man U. I'm with you.
Man City. Oh, a Manchester derby.
You get your. You got your. Get yours ready, Carmen.
Okay, go ahead.
So I will give out. I have two. Facing Nolan is now streaming on Netflix about Nolan Ryan.
Oh, yeah. I heard it was good.
That's great, I've heard.
Does Robin Ventura have a cameo? Does he? I'm serious.
I know. Here's the thing. I have not watched it yet, but it's like on my list of things next to watch. So I'm very intrigued to watch that. Also, this is obviously much less lighthearted. Not lighthearted at all, actually. But Ken Burns' newest documentary.
Love Ken Burns.
The U.S. and the Holocaust. Now, it's the subject matter is grim. But I will say I'm a sucker for anything Ken Burns
does.
He's
awesome.
It's a three-part series available on PBS, so I will be checking that out.
Remind me to try to tell you guys during the 5 o'clock hour a story about Nolan Ryan, Ventura, and Ozzy from when I emceed an event last
week
with Ozzy.
We need to do that right way after the segment. We'll do that. We'll start, and then we'll get into the Bears.
I don't watch a lot of new stuff, especially during football season. It's hard. The Netflix, I love Chef's Table, the new season. I know Sylvie likes it. The pizza. Watch the one about some of the famous pizza chef in the world. The guy in Phoenix, it's an incredible story. The Italian guy from Rome who brought Bonche here to it. The only one in America, I believe, is here in Chicago. I've been to Bonche in the West Loop. It's fantastic. But watch the newest Chef's Table about the great pizza chefs, the great pizziolos of the world.
And then Josh just tweets me. He says, you must watch Dahmer. So maybe I got to get through that first part. Tyler, go ahead. What are you watching for?
Yeah, great college football weekend. Five ranked matchups, but also a warning for everyone that's watching Houston and Tulane tonight. ESPN is going to cut into the games with Aaron Judge at bat. So just a warning for everyone.
Yeah, right.
Good call.
So you know, so you don't get upset.
Yeah, and then so everyone can argue about what the real record is.
Todd Furman likes Tulane, by the way, tonight.
I love Todd, too.
Listen, the record in the American League is 61.
Right. Yes. You are correct.
So that's all that matters.
That's him.
Right. Yeah, sure.
And the Yankee record, the American League record. It's not the Major League Baseball record.
Right. The National League record.
These are not opinions. These are facts.
73, and it doesn't make a difference how you feel. Nobody cares.
You don't get to make records subjective.
Right. No. They either are or they are not.
Is anybody suggesting it's the Major League record?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Fergie Jenkins was. Cap is doing it.
Who's the
Greeny's doing it.
Of course they are.
Silliness.
Of course they are. Stupid.
Silly. Who's the guy in at night on ESPN? He did it last week, too. I heard his mouth spewing off.
Who was it?
Spouting off on this. Who? Nighttime guy on ESPN.
Freddie Coleman.
Freddie Coleman?
Freddie Coleman.
I like Freddie usually.
Him telling me, that he doesn't consider 73 the record, 61's the record.
That's silly.
All right, who cares?
Let's get the Nolan Ryan, Ventura story. Then we get some Bears talk. We got to create a same-game parlay, which we've struggled with today, because the rushing props took a while to come out with the Montgomery news. Injury stuff. There's another player who could miss the game that we were not expecting. There's a lot to get after. Tua as well. We're coming up back in a minute as we're live in Woodridge at Legends.